trouble, see, I'm home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Having Bob Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we're talking about Lucy Hires an English Tutor. It is season 2, episode 13. Woof.
You had a self-realization moment.
1952, that we're only on 13, yes. It was directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed October 24th, 1952. It's a pretty simple synopsis, this episode, right?
Yeah.
So Lucy thinks with the baby she's getting ready to have, she thinks that nobody around her, including herself,
yeah,
speaks proper English. Of course, definitely Ricky. And so she hires a tutor to help her teach everyone that's going to be, you know, in close proximity to her little baby, how to speak English correctly.
Proper English, which is just
proper English.
Great. Yeah. She, like you said, she includes the Mertzes because they're the godparents, so they're always going to be around anyway. And yeah, with Ricky's slight accent, she points out. So yep. We open up the show with Lucy knitting. Ricky comes in and he has some bags in his hand.
Did you knit?
Ma'am. I would freeze to death when it's winter because I haven't an ounce of knitting capabilities within me. Now my mom does. She's like crocheting and knitting and all of that. And I just watch. But how about you?
No. I tried both freezing. Once. Yeah, no, I tried once. Our children are frozen. Thank goodness for stores. Mm-hmm. No, I tried once and I have the patience for a lot of things like drawing and things that take a long time.
Yep.
That's not one of them.
Yeah.
I was like, I have the patience for things that I enjoy and I don't enjoy that.
So. I am so thoroughly.
My grandma knits amazing
yeah.
Things. She made my Apollo a really cool sweatshirt that he wears a lot. Well, it's not funny, but it's kind of like a thought that pregnant women, you know, they're knitting little clothes for their, at least in that time, you know, for their children.
Or when they were trying to knit socks for the boys when they thought they were going away.
To go out, yeah.
And serve. Oh. So Ricky's coming in, he's got bags in his hands, and he also has food, drinks.
Drinks, a milkshake, I believe, right?
A papaya milkshake.
It's a papaya milkshake.
It's, there's only pickles. One place in town that he says sells them, because the whole premise of that is pregnant women and their crazy cravings, which I'm sure happens. I would, you know, this is going back a long time ago, but the only craving I got was a lot of fruit, you know, crazy fruit amounts of fruit, you know, and orange juice all the time. But seriously, it was crazy. One time I sat at the edge of the bed, I kid you not. Okay. And it was a brand new gallon of orange
you
juice.
You drank it all.
And I didn't even use a cup or a straw. I just turned that thing upside down. If you walk past me, you'd say, what is, I'm just going to keep walking because this is weird. But it's just never anything crazy where you mix this and that, like Lucy does here with the pickles and all of that. How about you?
Did you ever
you mix?
So I had, let's start with the not so weird things. M&Ms, for some reason, just like plain small M&Ms, love mm-hmm. them. Could eat them like crazy. Spicy things. Ooh. All of a sudden, I liked spice a lot. But those are my two like normal things, right?
Yeah.
At one point, I mixed ice cream, olives, and hot sauce. Oh. Yep.
And that's literally where IBS came from.
Literally, my only complaint was that the olives froze.
Oh my gosh.
And it changed the texture for me, and I didn't like it. That was my only complaint.
Oh, that was the only thing, because everything mm-hmm. else.
I liked everything else
made
about
sense.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So papaya, you know, it was interesting because it's kind of a hit and miss sort of fruit to be
I
having
like
for pregnant.
A lot.
No, it is. It's great, but for pregnant women, because sometimes it has a certain effect on the body, like a laxative effect on the body. And, you know, that can also be a little touchy for pregnant
women. That's what her body was telling her.
Maybe.
You know, like sometimes you get cravings for things because you're missing that, right? So maybe her body was like, gotta go to the bathroom.
So there's many beliefs about eating papaya during pregnancy. Conventionally, it's believed that papaya can set off miscarriage and also premature labor. So it's very risky, or, you know, kind of you have to be safe about eating the papaya, I suppose. And according to this, I think it's parenting.com, papaya comes under the heat generating foods, foods that increase the body core temperature. Heat generating foods are not recommended during pregnancy. However, eating ripe papaya moderately during pregnancy causes no harm. It does have some benefits during pregnancy. Eating a unripe papaya during pregnancy in turn can cause complications. So it's, you know, how about just leave the papaya alone?
Let's just leave it.
Let's just move on. So anyways, yeah, she had the crazy cravings and she dips a pickle
in it.
In the milkshake.
Ricky says there's only one place in all of New York that sells papaya smoothies. Mm-hmm. And there was. It was called Papaya King. Look it up. It's called Papaya Kings. There's an article on Food and Wine that says that New York City's Papaya King is slated for demolition.
I see one open on East 86th Street in New York City.
It's open. Okay, well, maybe they didn't.
But right underneath it, it does say demolition. You're right, for July 2022. But I see one that's open. So it's a fast food takeout restaurant. It is currently a single location on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, its original location. It's made several attempts to expand to other locations, but these expansions have since closed.
So maybe that's what I was reading about.
Yeah, perhaps. But there's another one that's mentioned on a movie called Fool's Rush In with Matthew Perry, where they talk about Gray's papaya.
Only fools rush in. Do you know that song?
Were you waiting for me to come in? Because
yeah,
I could do this all day. Fall, I just watched Elvis the other day.
Okay, anyhow.
So
apparently they sell hot dogs too.
Okay, now we're all hungry. So after she dips this pickle in the milkshake, he makes this weird face, as most people would, because that is gross. First of all, pickles are gross. Don't come at me.
I
know you would. Most people do. It's a thing. It's a weird texture.
I didn't used to.
And
I think I started liking them around my pregnancy, actually.
Yeah. She dips it.
Hang on.
It's kind of gross. And so they start talking about what the gender of the baby will be. And he's, you know, she's asking, you'll be happy if it's a boy, right? Because all men want boys. I don't think that's true necessarily. That's why they say daddy's girls, that sort of thing. And then mama's boys. But, and, you know, he's saying, oh, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl.
But I'm sure you want a girl. Like,
right. Because all girls. Know. Now, here's the part where I know it kind of dinged on you a little bit, because she says you want a boy to see a smaller version of yourself running around. And then he says, you want a girl to teach you how to catch a man.
That is her only job.
Come on. I know.
As a mother.
Sign of the times.
And, did you want a girl or a boy?
You know, I think.
Or did you not care?
I'm trying to think how far. I mean, I've had a girl for 23 years, so I don't remember if I wanted a female or not. Now, today, I most definitely would want a boy, because, you know, girls are girls, but I think they say, you know, the relationship is different with a son, but who knows? Isn't it just every situation its own special?
It's all different.
I mean, I'm sure if I asked my parents, because they have both, you know, I'm sure they say different things about. And so he's like, you know, they're both trying to be politically correct and say, oh, either one is. Well, don't be afraid of saying what you want.
Right.
You know, just, and so he's, you know, you're right. I don't care. As long as he's healthy and happy, you know, and that's when he has a box or a bag. She says, you bought me something, because she thinks he bought her a gift. And she opens it up, and it's a football. And boxing gloves. And also a Havana U 1974 shirt. And he says, so you don't care what it is, right? It's, you know.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that could be for our girl too. And I love when she's like, when she put, was she, what was it? The first football, the football. He was like, lots of girls play football. And then she pulls out the boxing gloves and it's like, what are you going to call a Rocky Ricardo?
Rocky Ricardo. Yeah. And so, you know, he says, okay, so maybe I do want a boy. Then he takes out what she has in the bag. And it's, of course.
Yeah, he knocks it over on accident. He doesn't see it. And then that's when they notice frilly dress. Oh, yeah.
And then he says, frilly. If you dress my son in this, he'll need those boxing gloves.
Yes.
So then they start speak. She kind of, he's, you know, they both have a good laugh at it and say, I guess it's true. You know, boys want, men want boys, women want girls. As long as they're, you know, happy and goes to school. And he says, yep, they'll be happy in at Havana University. And she's just like, it hits her like a little delayed reaction. Havana U. What's wrong with Havana U?
That's a big move.
That's very presumptuous without speaking to Mrs. Ricardo about it.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of backwards. Back then, I said, that's kind of backwards. You kind of want to come from Havana to the U.S. to study, not the other way around.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't have that much love for my university. Like, I appreciate
there are exceptions to the rule.
I appreciated the school and the degree I got and whatever, but like, I will never make Apollo go there. If he wants to go there, okay, but I don't have enough pride. But I do know a lot of people that have pride for their. I have a lot of pride for the Kent State rugby team.
Okay.
So there's that, but not for the university itself. Oops.
This is definitely not sponsored by what university is this?
Not sponsored by Kent State.
By Kent State University. And so they, you know, start saying, you know, we have schools here. She does not need to go. She or he does not need to go to Havana U. And then, but before that, he goes into the Havana U anthem. And she's just staring at him because he goes deep into the the anthem.
Well, not only that, but it's in Spanish, so she can't understand what he's saying.
Right.
Either.
And then she says, yeah. And that's certainly not happening. And so it kind of hits her that, which I think happens to most first-time parents, that how quickly you need to figure everything out up until they hit the college age, because you want to make sure that you're helping them along with the speaking and the verbiage and the talking. And now they're in school and now they're in junior high. Now they're in high school. And you know, and so I think it worries a lot of people. And so she's having that realization that perhaps they don't have the answers to everything that a kid's going to ask. And I'm sure you've had those moments, Lucy, where, you know, Apollo's like, what's this? What's that? And you're just trying to think of an answer. So you have something to say. And she's, you know, kind of self-deprecating and saying that she doesn't know anything to go ask her dad or his dad.
Go ask his dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so far I've been able to answer things. What's weird, not weird to me, but interesting to me is how much he remembers. Mm. Oh, so like I was telling you that, like, so he asked why it was raining and he kept asking why it was raining. So I explained the cycle to him, right? And then later he asked why it was raining again. So it's like, well, why is it raining?
Yeah.
And he said, because the clouds are so heavy. So he picked up on that last part where the clouds get heavy and then the rain falls, and that's his answer now, you know? And
and
so when it's cold, he says it's because the sun and the moon are rotating, like spinning. Mm. And I was like, yes. I mean,
okay, that's really smart.
We cut to the next scene and she's got all these books. Do you know? Did you know?
Ooh.
You can get that whole series for about $75.
Now, what series is that? The books behind her?
The books behind her, which are, ooh.
It's kind of like encyclopedia. Is it encyclopedia or is it history books?
They're the great events of the Great War.
Okay. So she's sitting on the bed. She's got all these books that she wants to study and read because she's panicking that this infant that's about to be about this big is going to be questioning her on the U.S. history.
Right. She has so much time.
And so, you know, Ricky comes in like, what's going on here? You know, what are you doing? And so she either has a thesaurus because he says that he comes in and he's tired. And so because she's trying to, you know, she's on this perfect English kick, she says, well, this is indeed distressing news. To what do you attribute your plethora of fatigue?
And he goes, what?
Which reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw, you're a Friends fan, right?
Yes.
So yeah. There's an episode where Joey, because Joey's not the smartest one of the group, of course, as has volunteered to write a reference letter for the adoption for Chandler and Monica for a kid. And so because they don't really trust that he's going to sound smart, he goes to thesaurus and pretty much changes every word. And it's so funny because at the end of it, you know, he's like, is this a little too sophisticated? Because Chandler's like, I have no idea what this says. It doesn't make any sense. Of course it is. It's smart. I use a thesaurus. And Chandler's like, on every word? Yep. But what was the sentence originally? They're warm, nice people with big hearts. And Chandler says, and that became they're humid, prepossessing Homo sapiens with full-size aortic pumps. He goes, I really mean it. And he says,
I really mean it.
Yes. He says, I don't think we can use this. Why not? Because you signed it Baby Kangaroo Tribbiani, because his name is Joey.
Joey? Yes.
So just a cross connection of thesaurus, you know.
Baby Kangaroo.
Yes. So
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's when they're trying to adopt the baby. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of like, what in the world did you just say? Because proper English is really baffling sometimes to listen to.
Yeah. So then she goes, no, I'm reading this book about how to speak proper English, and they have this exercise. Did you write it down? Because I did.
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so she says, how do you do, Mrs. Smith? And then, how do you do, Mrs. Jones? And how are all your adorable children? Quite well, thank you. And how is your sister Cynthia? Sister Cynthia is simply scintillating.
Yes.
Scintillating?
Yes.
Scintillating. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to read the part that he was reading, the book.
No. I did the weird one.
Yes.
It was real weird.
Mm-hmm. So he goes into this book that, you know, has all the different pronunciations for the O-U-G-H in the English language, right? Because it's very confusing. You go from cough to through, enough.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bows.
And then it's what? Bows. Mm-hmm. Bows.
The bougie. Something.
Bougie.
And so that's something. What he's reading actually is a book called Peter Pan, the children's book Peter Pan, published by Wonder Books in 1952. That's what he's reading from. It's called like a phonogram. Is the O-U-G-H. It's one of the toughest in the English language, with at least 6 different pronunciations and 44 sounds of English. And one of the reasons that English is challenging to learn is that 26 letters make 44 sounds called phonemes.
Phonemes.
Yeah. This means that sometimes letters combine to make sounds, and they're written representations of a sound, also known as graphemes. And there are 72 of those phonograms. I mean, that's why you can't give a foreigner the O-U-G-H, because it's so confusing. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. That's why he says in Spanish, you put it in one way, it comes out the same way. It's true. It's all the same. There's nothing, you know, if it's an A, it sounds like an A. You don't get to talk to the baby till he's 19 years old.
And then, of course, Ricky says, you know, you were going to teach the baby Spanish.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
Yeah.
And you don't get to talk to the baby until he's 21.
My gosh. Yeah. How about
okay,
both?
Guys.
Because the United States, no, we are no a melting pot.
Yeah. No one speaks anything. How about that?
Just text.
A silent house. Texting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interestingly, really quick, Peter Pan, you know, this comes from our friend Paper Moon.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Paper Moon.
Yes, always. Peter Pan came out, like you said, in 1952, and the movie came out in February of 1953, which is just a month later after this episode. And the Hans Conrad, yes, who's the tutor, is also Captain Hook, which I did not know.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
And so he, I'm sorry, after that, you know, he's just like, he gave up because, you know, of course he would. And so she says, you know, we're getting a tutor because we have to figure this out before this baby comes. We're going to speak perfect English, you, me, Fred, and Ethel. And he's like, how did he get in on it? How did they get in on it? Well, they're going to be around a lot. So anyone around me, my baby needs to speak perfect English. You know, it's just so funny because, I mean, we're handed a human and we're we're supposed to know how to speak to it and love on it, you know, just perfectly. So cut to the next day, you know. Well, first of all, I'm sure the first thing Ricky's thinking of is how expensive this is going to be because English tutors coming to your home, pretty pricey. And the next day, he's in a foul mood because he doesn't want to do this. Well, they're kind of concerned that Fred's not coming because if Fred's not doing it, Ricky doesn't want to do it.
Ricky's not doing it. Yeah.
And then what happens with Fred?
He comes in. Oh, my goodness. He comes in looking like a child. Actually, it's Buster Brown. He's dressed up as, who's a comic strip character that was created in 1902.
Yeah, he comes in skipping and licking a lollipop and acting like a child. And, you know, and he's and so after that, you know, Ricky does his famous laugh because he finds that hilarious. And then we have Mr. Livermore, who you just referenced, Hans Conrad, the actor, worked with, yes, like you mentioned. Well, actually, we've seen him in Redecorating. Remember?
We did, yes.
Yes, yeah. He's the secondhand.
The guy who sold them back for $500 or something.
And bought it for like, what, much. 90 or something?
25. 25. 75, maybe.
75, that's yeah. Right. Because she broke the leg off of it, Ethelton.
Yeah.
And so he did work with Lucy. He plays Mr. Percy Livermore. He did work with Lucy in the movie The Big Street, which I think is one of the first ones we're going to be reviewing soon. And on her radio show, My Favorite Husband. He played, like we said, Mr. Jenkins in Redecorating Season 2, Episode 8. And 3 years later, he would be again in Make Room for Daddy, which was a Desi Lu production from 55 to 64 with Danny Thomas. He played Uncle Tanous. And so he comes in, and of course, he's like a very stereotypical
English teacher.
English teacher, just a prude of a man.
Oh my goodness gracious me. Mm-hmm. The way he speaks. So we're almost there. I won't skip to it yet. Mm-hmm. Because one thing is that Ethel asks, how in the world are you paying for all of this? You know, is Ricky paying for all this? And Lucy says that she's made arrangements, like she's made a deal with the tutor, but we don't know what it is yet.
Right. We will.
We will soon. He comes in and he realizes right away, like, we've got to start. I think one of my favorite things is when she says, hiya, how you doing, Ethel? Fred says the same thing, and he says, it seems you're...
It's rubbing off on your, son here.
Your bad language is rubbing off on your son.
Yeah. And so he says, one of them says, okay. And he says, did you just say okay? And Ricky says, yeah. He says, we must rid our speech of slang. Now, besides okay, I want you all to promise me that there are two words you'll never use. One of them is swell, and the other one is lousy.
And Lucy goes, okay, what are they?
That's another well-written line there.
That's like who's on first, which is just an iconic. Because then he repeats himself. One of them is swell and the other is lousy. And Fred goes, well, give us the lousy one first.
I don't believe you quite understand. Listen, just tell us what the words are, as Ethel says, and we just will never use them.
So when she says, how are you? Or how are ya? And he goes, how do you do? He goes, are you by chance endeavoring to pronounce how do you do? Endeavoring
to pronounce, you know, he's just getting frustrated because he's trying to tell them not to say squell or lousy, And he's like, can I get a glass of water, please? Because he's just, you know, he says, okay, I mean, yes, I would say okay. That would be a swell way to get off to a lousy start. It's painful. Now, what's funny also is when they do the vows.
Oh, A-E-I-O, yeah, and you.
And Ricky's doing them in Spanish. And yeah, and he says.
Can you do them in Spanish?
Oh, yeah, it's A-E-I-O-U. And those are in Spanish. And he's like, what is with the odd pronunciation of the vowels? He's like, I went to school in Cuba. What's your excuse?
Yes.
So rude.
So when they're going to get the water, this is when he comes over. Livermore comes over. And he really just pulls out the piece of paper.
Yeah.
I guess he thinks that Lucy's probably already talked to Ricky. But Ricky does not. And so he's very confused by what's going on. And this is when Mr. Livermore says, in lieu of remuneration of my tutelage, I am to be permitted to introduce my talents into your nocturnal bistro, which I do think is funny that he uses nocturnal bistro, because that is what Lucy asked why he was so tired when Ricky came home.
Earlier.
But this, of course, Ricky doesn't know what he's saying,
and then Fred's like, hold on, I think what this guy's trying to say is, instead of you paying him, he's going to perform in your nightclub.
I feel like it's not an awful way to get free lessons.
Yes, it is. With this song, yes, it is.
Well, okay, it was a bad song, but maybe she didn't know what the song was.
Okay, now you're the singer of the group here, Lucy, so you're going to have to tippy-tippy-toe.
I don't even know that they were really singing, because he's like, I tippy-tippy-toe through my garden. And I was like, well, okay.
The pretty flowers dwell. There's a rare perfume in my garden. And I just
love to stand there and smell. And then... They start walking away.
They're like, this is ridiculous. And he said, you know, that's when Ricky kind of starts getting louder. And so Lucy's like, what's going on? Did you really promise this guy I was going to let him sing tippy tippy toe at my club? And so he said, I don't care if we get free lessons for life. He's not singing there. And then she drops the bomb that they're all going to be involved in this.
Yes. So
they all have parts of this tippy-tippy-toe by Percy Livermore.
Ricky says, dairy down, pip, pip. Lucy goes, diddly, diddly, day.
Hey, nonny, nonny.
Rippity, pippity, A.
And that rippity, pippity, A, by the way, is perfect for Fred's demeanor and voice, because it's just...
Oh, yeah.
And then the last part was, of course, dairy down, ding, dong. Dilly-dilly-doo.
Hey, nonny-nonny. Rippity-pippity-poo.
That's Ricky. He's like, that's it. I'm done. It's not happening. And, you know, it's kind of a big kerfuffle happens. Kerfuffle. It's a great word. And I don't think Mr. Livermore would use that word, but maybe. And the next scene is them coming back into the apartment, because they have a deal. What was the deal?
The deal was that is going to speak like Ricky so that Lucy will stop lessons and then he will be able to sing in the nightclub.
And then, of course, in exchange, he says he wants to get, I think, a meeting with every talent agent.
Oh, yes. He wants the talent agent.
Mm-hmm. And so when Lucy comes in, he's like, oh, I'm very happy. She's happy that it's going to be, you know, that it's going great. But then he says, oh, come on, Percy, give him a little bit of what we practiced, right? Because they've been rehearsing. And so he starts trying to do the babaloo, and the most awkward and awful
oh, my goodness.
Renditions of babaloo. But she's looking at him like, and then he starts going crazy, like he's hitting a bongo drum, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this isn't going well at all. Well, and then the words, he don't understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, even before that, He was like, that's swell. So he even says swell.
It must have hurt his heart. He dunked.
Yeah. So Lucy's like, it was a war of the accents, and yours was yours.
He
won.
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And that's what Ricky wanted, right? Yeah. So he was very happy. And as Lucy's talking to Ricky, Mr. Livermore kind of like sneaks out.
Yeah.
But is very excited because he did his part and he gets to
talk to these agents.
Talk to the talents. Not yeah. that they're.
No, it's not going to go anywhere. Much, right? He's going to be teaching English for a while.
That's the end of this episode.
Another thing
from Paper Moon was just that the original episode aired a promo for My Little Marriage that ran from 1952 to 1955.
Okay.
And it starred Gail Storm and Charles Farrell. And there were a lot of cast members on there. I won't say them all because there were a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That appeared as like guest stars on I Love Lucy.
Yeah, so big thanks to Paper Moon for all that information. So he's like a third co-host here.
He really is. He just doesn't have to come on every
week. Yeah, so everyone please check out his blog. He does have a new website that he links it to, but you know, we'll share his information each time he posts something. He just did a feature on Lucy and all the different hats that she wore, like literal hats, not like business, like mom, businesswoman. I don't mean that, like literal hats. And yeah, we'll be sharing his stuff because, you know, he's a wealth of information. So thank you for that. But Lucy has a new thing she just added to her collection that she's been wanting for a while. Because if you are an avid Lucy watcher, you know she has that Ivy tea set or coffee cup set or plate set. And so where did you find that?
Oh my gosh, we were at this antique store. It's huge. I mean, it's ginormous. And we were like close to closing time. We were like, okay, we got to get through this. And as we're walking past this little table, there's two sets. And I only grabbed one because the other one would just be sitting there. But there were two sets and I was like, I have to have it. It came with this and the little saucer plate.
Yeah.
So now I have one. I'm very happy.
Ivy set. Yeah.
I was looking for like the whole set, but I accepted and appreciated this. So
yeah. Cheers. Good.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any, we'll be doing, like I said, our first movie review of the year. I think it's a big street we're going to be doing next. And hopefully we get some guest stars too. But we are happy to be rolling again because we had a hiatus and then we had medical stuff and then just life getting in the way, holidays. But we are back. So thank you guys for sticking with us and listening, you know, to us do this because it is fun. It's a nice distraction too for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
And so if you guys leave any comments, please rate us on iTunes and Spotify and wherever else they allow rating. Email us at havingaballpod@gmail.com, Instagram havingaballpod, and Facebook. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys.
There you go. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.